This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back, everybody, to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jason Sukumel. A big shout out to our partners at the Yak for hosting these podcasts. And I'm back again, talking a little bit more Texas recruiting. We'll get into it a little bit here. Not the most active week, certainly not the most productive week in terms of positive news since I last recorded. But we got a few things we can talk about this week, and then I'm going to dive into some questions and answer. And kind of the big news this week, I mean, recruiting's always going on. It never, you know, takes a day off, much less a week off. But the big news this week, of course, is Texas started its football spring practices on Monday morning. And I was out there Monday morning to get a glimpse of the action out there. They practice again on Wednesday, and they practice again on Friday. And Friday one's supposed to be open to the media. When I say open to the media, let's clarify a little bit. I mean, it's fun to go out there. It's fun to cover it. It's fun to provide notes on Orange Bloods for the readers. But we're getting to watch about three or four periods out of about a 25-period practice early in the practice before they really do any one-on-ones, any real team stuff. So, you know, you get to watch guys move around a little bit and see who's lining up maybe at a different position or who is running with the ones when the first team offensive line trots out there, maybe who has a green jersey on, you know, who catches the ball well, who throws the ball well for those few minutes. But, you know, I caution everybody, when you read these early spring practice reports, there's only so much that can be gleaned. Now, listen, if a new offensive lineman is with the first team right tackle, that's newsworthy. But if you read, whoa, this guy really was making nice catches, or this guy was, you know, threw the ball really well today, well, take it all with just a grain of salt, because there's only so much you can dissect from about 20 minutes of action, especially when you're running all over the place trying to take pictures and watch things and take notes and everything else you got going on. But anyways, we're here to talk a little bit about recruiting. Maybe we'll talk more team stuff next week, depending on what we see on Friday. So let's start with the big positive news of the week, and that is that five-star cornerback Keely Ringo is in Austin on an unofficial visit as I record this. He came in on Monday. He was not at practice Monday. I think I've seen it reported that he was. If he was, I sure as hell didn't see him, and he'd be a tough guy to not see, because I'm sure the coaches would have been all over him. But if he did show up to practice, I should say it was not when the media was there, because he wasn't there when I was there. So a bit of a surprise visit. Not so much in that he is in Austin. I mean, this is his third time to visit, so, you know, he obviously likes it here. Not even the fact that he's here this spring. He told us, Orange Bloods, about 3 weeks ago that he would be visiting sometime in the spring. He just hadn't set it up yet. Well, he's on spring break this week, so it makes sense. But the timing of it is a bit of a surprise, because Rivals.com, Adam Gorney, our West Coast guy who just does fantastic work for Rivals, he actually talked to Ringo on Saturday at this Adidas 7-on-7 competition, and Ringo didn't have plans locked in to visit Texas at that point. Or if he did, he didn't tell Adam Gorney. So kind of came as a surprise, but he is on campus this weekend. And, you know, kind of stating the obvious here, but this is a no-brainer, hugely positive development for the Longhorns in their pursuit of the five-star cornerback. I said it earlier. I mean, this is his third time to come in for an unofficial visit, meaning he's in on his own dime. And yes, his mother works for American Airlines. She's a flight attendant. So he's told me, yeah, it's easier for him to get around places, and, you know, he can fly back and forth on standby for free. Well, that's fine. But there are other expenses once you get there. I mean, you got to have food, and, you know, if you get a hotel or if he stays with buddies, that's fine. But there are always going to be other expenses. And the fact is, this is the second time that he's come in by himself. His mom's awfully trusting of him, which I think is really cool. But she must be pretty trusting of the Texas staff, and just the fact that, you know, she thinks he's in good hands when he does visit. Now, someone on our message board said they think she's coming in this week as well. I've reached out to her and I haven't heard back. So if I do, I will certainly, I'll update as I hear more on that. But third visit to Texas, I mean, listen, sometimes recruiting is just about reading between the lines a little bit. And this is a young man who, as of 3 weeks ago, told us at Orange Blood, said, hey, I haven't even visited anywhere else twice. I've been to Texas twice. So he said, that kind of tells you how strong my feelings are for Texas. Now he's here a third time for a multiple day visit. He told me, or told Orange Bloods a few weeks ago, his relationship with the Texas coaching staff is better than any other staff that's recruiting him. He really likes guys like Jalen Green. He even bonded with some of the upperclassmen DBs, a guy like Chris Boyd, who's, of course, getting ready for the NFL. Said he loves the city of Austin. I mean, there's a lot to like here for Keely Ringo in terms of what he sees at Texas and in Austin. And there's a lot to like with Texas's chances with Keely Ringo right now. People keep wondering, might he commit early? And it's recruiting, man. Never say never. But he has been pretty open and pretty direct saying he wants to take his time, maybe take this thing at least till December, the early signing period, literally, maybe even take it all the way up until the second signing period in February. So I don't know, man. My guess, my gut tells me when I've talked to Keely, I'm not sure he'll take it that long. I think maybe that's what his plans are, but you know, I think as this thing just keeps kind of growing on him and he keeps seeing these places, I could see him making a little bit of an earlier decision. As it stands right now, I'm picking Texas as the team to beat here. I know, you know, other schools like Alabama are involved there. He said he wants to go see Oregon. Interestingly, the kind of new flavor of the week there, along with Texas, is Oklahoma. He's supposed to see Oklahoma coming up. Wouldn't shock me, and I haven't talked to Keely. I'm trying to give him his space while he's on this visit, but wouldn't shock me if he leaves Austin and goes straight up to Oklahoma to check out OU. So keep an eye on that. He really likes kind of the new defensive staff Oklahoma's put together, but I just can't ignore the fact that this is Keely Ringo's third time in Austin since November. Third time in Austin in, what, 4 months? And he's planning on coming back for an official visit. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back for another unofficial visit, maybe in the summer or something. I mean, this guy really likes what's going on at Texas, likes the coaches, likes everything about the program, likes their DB development, that Jason Washington's done a good job there over his career. So big news there. Five-star cornerback Keely Ringo, the nation's top corner, is in Austin this week on yet another unofficial visit. That's the positive. All right, now we can't not address the negative news that came up last week, and that is the decommitment of Rivals 100 receiver Mookie Cooper, who, just a weird story, man. He had committed to Texas back in February. So here he is 3 weeks later, he decommits. What's the story there? All right, well, you know, Mookie took an unofficial visit to Illinois 2 weekends ago. I did reach out to him after that. He told me, hey, man, nothing to it. I'm just going up there to hang out with some friends. Yeah, I've been there a bunch. I checked with some sources at Texas, said, are you guys worried about that visit? No, not at all. Not at all. That was Tuesday night. Well, then on Thursday night, there begins to be some smoke kind of floating up from the Illinois side that Mookie Cooper wasn't decommitted, but for all intents and purposes, shouldn't be considered a Texas commitment. That was from an Illinois writer who had spoken to Mookie Cooper on Thursday night. Well, I was able to catch up with Mookie Friday morning, first thing Friday morning, and smoke was already out there, but he confirmed to me, hey, you know, kind of broke the news, hey, I am officially decommitted from Texas. And he said it didn't have anything to do with the Illinois visit. He goes, man, I've been there a bunch. You know, that was nothing new, nothing big. He said he just felt like he rushed into his decision to commit to Texas. Well, that's fine. You know, that happens. But it usually doesn't happen 3 weeks after you commit. And it usually doesn't happen after, again, Mookie Cooper, kind of like Keely Ringo, he had visited Texas 3 times on an unofficial visit. And he had developed a long-standing relationship with the Texas coaches, loved the UT staff. I mean, really bonded and trusted with those guys. So it wasn't like he just came down on one visit, loved what he saw, kind of got caught up in the moment and then committed and then decided less than a month later that he wanted to decommit. I mean, this is a young man who put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy into developing a relationship with the Texas staff, with visiting Austin, visiting UT three times. You know, he didn't rush into the decision per se. He kind of knew coming down that he wanted to commit and said once he got down there back in February for the junior day, he loved everything he saw. So he went ahead with his plans to commit. Just kind of a weird deal, man. You know, some people compared it to Rondale Moore last year. And I said, well, no, it really wasn't anything like Rondale Moore. You know, that was a young man who decided he wanted to stay closer to home. He stayed committed for a long time. You know, Purdue did a good job of recruiting him. I mean, Mookie's situation was so unique because of his multiple visits. You know, that was just kind of came out of the blue and literally caught everybody by surprise, even those who had spent a long time recruiting him. So where do we go from here with Mookie Cooper? You know, he tells me Texas is still in the picture. I'm sure Texas is still going to recruit him. He's a fantastic player, and, you know, Texas has invested a lot of time already, but I don't know that they're going to prioritize him, I guess, if that's the right way to say it. You know, burn me once, that's tough, but if you reprioritize him again and you get burned again and maybe miss out on some other prospects, well, you know, that's just not the right way to play it from Texas's perspective, in my opinion. So I think they'll keep tabs on him, but Mookie's going to have to really be proactive there and be the initiator if that one was going to work out between him and Texas. So that was the negative news from last week. Really kind of popped Friday morning is when Mookie made it official and decommitted. So the other kind of big story from the weekend, Texas did have two big unofficial visitors from the 2020 class. You had linebacker Josh White and wide receiver Troy O'Mary. Both were in Austin. Came in on Saturday. They both stayed till Sunday is what I was told. Sounds like the visits went exceptionally well. You know, I did talk to Josh White, the speedy linebacker. He said as much. The man, it was a great visit. He spent a couple hours with Todd Orlando. They kind of broke down film. Orlando showed him, you know, how he could fit in, how he could be the rover, how he would be utilized, and how they'd utilize his speed and free him up and play him in space. Allowed him to do a bunch of different things. So really good visit for Josh White. I came in the last weekend, and I had reason to believe this, but I came into the weekend thinking there was a slight chance Josh White might go ahead and commit while on the visit. Now, he wasn't intending to come in and commit, but he'd been there before. He loves Texas. I thought, hey, if that visit just really blew him away, he might just kind of act in the moment and go ahead and pull the trigger. But he didn't do that. He tells me he did visit TCU today on Tuesday. I record this Tuesday evening. He visited TCU Tuesday, got an offer there. Don't know yet where TCU fits in the big picture. Here's one to watch, though. He is visiting Alabama on Saturday. He already holds an Alabama offer. I don't necessarily see him going that far away, but anytime Alabama gets involved, hey, man, watch out. That's a recruiting machine they've got over there. So it'll be really interesting to see how he feels or what he feels about Alabama coming out of that visit. I still think this is a three-team race based on what I've kind of been told behind the scenes. I think it's Texas. I think it's LSU. I think it's Oklahoma. Those three teams are all pretty equal, is the way it's been described to me. My money's on Texas, man. I still think Texas wins out there, but it probably doesn't happen as quickly as maybe some Texas fans thought or Texas fans were hoping. Let's see if Alabama can make that a four-team race. Right now, though, I think it's Texas, LSU, and Oklahoma. Troy O'Meara, the receiver, man, that dude, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't like me, maybe he doesn't like Rivals. Can't imagine he doesn't like Rivals. He showed up to a Rivals camp a month ago, and he's going to the Rivals five-star challenge. If anything, he should love Rivals. But I just can't get that guy on the phone to save my life or on DM or anything else. But, you know, Josh White, he and Troy did visit together. They trained together. They're good buds. He just said to me, you know, he told me, hey, it was a really good visit for Troy. And it's no secret. I mean, it's a Texas A&M battle for Troy. Troy Omer, you know, the Rivals 100 receiver. You've got some teams like LSU and Baylor still involved there, but that one's probably going to come down to Texas and Texas A&M. Good job by Texas to get him on campus. He does want to commit probably this summer if he can make the right decision. You need to get him on campus one, two, maybe three more times, I think, before he makes that decision, because I think Texas has trailed A&M in that race. Did this weekend, or last weekend rather, do enough to close that gap per se, or maybe push Texas out in front? I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that yet. I should see Troy this weekend. I'll be at the opening regional camp down in Houston. I would expect he'll be there. So I'll get a chance to talk to him. Some guys, a lot of other guys like Chad Lindbergh and some of these other top Houston area talent, Zachary Evans, guys like that. I should be able to talk to them down in Houston. So I'll have a better feel for Troy Omer probably after the weekend. But bottom line, I was told by a couple sources, yeah, it did sound like it was a really good visit for Texas. Talking about Lindbergh, the big offensive lineman, he's what we're talking about for a bit here. He did take an unofficial visit to Stanford a few last week. He was there for a few days over the weekend. You know, I talked to his mom, and I had this on orangebloods.com in the war room, but if you didn't read that, or if you're not on Orange Bloods, first off, get on Orange Bloods. But if you're not and you didn't read it, you know, I talked to his mom about that visit. She accompanied him on the trip, said it was a really, really good visit. Coming out of that visit, she thinks Texas and Stanford are one and two, but, you know, he still wants to visit Georgia. He's going to visit A&M, Clemson. These are all visits coming up this spring. I still like Texas's chances there. Now, again, that's one some people thought might happen this spring. I'm not sure it happens. I don't even know if it happens this summer. I think Chad's going to take a little bit more time than people expected, but I just think the draw to Texas, playing in the state of Texas. He has a brother who is, I believe, a freshman at UT. I just think there are too many draws at Texas. I think the Longhorns are going to win out at some point there. I don't think Stanford did enough to overtake Texas on that weekend trip. So we'll keep an eye on that one. But right now, I still like Texas's chances. Don't, you know, those are kind of the newsy subjects from the last week. Again, it's kind of an odd time where football practice is starting up. So the Texas coaches are obviously laser focused on spring football. You're going to have some recruits like Keely Ringo coming in for visits and checking out spring practice. And I'd be shocked if a guy like Princely Umanmielen wasn't on campus. You know, Hudson Card, I would expect, will be a regular visitor. You'll have some other guys from around the state, around the region, that will come in during their spring breaks to see a practice or two. But those things that I just talked about were kind of the newsworthy developments over the last week. So I want to do something a little different this week, and part of that was because of the Josh White stuff. And, you know, Rivals.com has this new feature, which they implemented late last year. It's called the FutureCast, where Rivals publishers and even Rivals subscribers can go in and submit their picks for where they think prospects are going to wind up. So I've got a handful of 2020 picks in. We'll just go ahead and go through those. And I like to toot my own horn, man. We started this in the 2019 class, so late in the process. I have 27 total future casts, okay, of guys who have committed. There are several that are uncommitted that I still have out there. So far, I'm 26 out of 27 on those predictions. And I claim to be 27 out of 27 because the only one that I have wrong on the books is Brew McCoy, because I predicted him to commit to USC, which he did. And then, of course, I knew he was going to flip to or transfer to Texas. But because there's a flaw in the system, I couldn't go back. Once he had signed, I couldn't change my pick to Texas. Well, once they, even though he technically was a transfer, once they made him a quote-unquote Texas commitment, well, that made me wrong on my future cast. So, damn it to hell, I felt like I covered that story really, really well, but lo and behold, it's the one technicality that I have wrong. So, I'm claiming to be 27 out of 27 on my future cast, and I'm going to get burned at some point. I'm going to miss one, and there have been a few that I don't mind admitting that I did guess on, and I ended up getting them right, but so far, I'm 27 out of 27. I'm claiming 100%. So, Here are my future cast picks for 2020. I'll just start with the ones that I have that have hit so far. I had Bryce Young going to Southern Cal, the quarterback. I had Logan Parr going to Texas. I had Mookie Cooper going to Texas, which I've since then switched that. I went ahead and put Illinois just because it makes sense. He decommitted right after visiting Illinois, but I'm not sure that's where Mookie Cooper winds up, if I'm being honest. But right now I've gotten on Illinois. I just need to keep tabs on that one and update it accordingly. Pretty much all the Texas commits. Jake Majors, I had him early going to Texas. I had Jalen Garth early going to Texas. The other guys I've got right now going to Texas, and you know, I'm usually fairly conservative with these, so if I put it in there, I have, you know, pretty good reason to believe so. But I do have Josh White, the linebacker, going to Texas. I have Zachary Evans. That's a little bit sticking my neck out on that one, but I just think Texas is the team to beat there. I think Texas makes the most sense. So five-star running back Zach Evans, I have him going to Texas. I have Josh Eaton, the defensive back, cornerback. You know, I have him going to Texas. I felt really good about that about 3 weeks ago based on some things he kind of told me off the record. I need to follow up with him, though. I think he'll be at that camp this weekend and just kind of pick his brain a little bit more. I do like Texas's chances there, but I think there are some other schools around the region are getting more involved there, so I need to kind of keep close tabs on that. I have Vernon Broughton, the big defensive end. I have him going to Texas. I feel comfortable there. Bryson Washington, I have him going to Texas. Feel comfortable there. I don't think he's the slam dunk other people have said he is, but I do think Texas gets him. Prince of Human Mealin, man, that's... I do have him going to Texas, but I think Oklahoma's heavily involved there. I think A&M's heavily involved. But listen, man, the guy's from Manor. He's visited Texas probably half a dozen times in the past couple months. I'm just going to stick with my Texas pick there. I do have Alfred Collins, the defensive end out of Bastrop, going to Texas. Again, man, he's close to UT. He's a priority. His mom played basketball at Texas. Just makes some sense. So there's a couple other guys I feel pretty comfortable with, but I haven't put my pick there. You know, a guy like Chris Thompson, I think Texas is the team to beat, but I've said all along, I don't think Texas is nearly as locked in as the leader there as some people have proclaimed, keeping on some schools like LSU and a few others. So, but anyways, the ones I mentioned, those are the ones I have Texas landing in the 2019 class, and there'll be more, certainly. So if I'm looking at the 2020 class, I should say. If I'm looking back at 2019, a couple of the ones I don't mind admitting I guessed on was Ishmael Sopcher, the defensive end who committed to Alabama. I knew it was going to be Alabama or LSU. Saw a lot of mixed things going back and forth. You know, I just kind of thought Alabama was a team to beat there. And I had LSU early, but I switched to Alabama. Peyton Powell, once Texas kind of dropped him, I put my pick in for Baylor. There was some thought that maybe Texas Tech or someone could swoop in there, but I went ahead and stuck with Baylor. Noah Kane, man, that was a 50-50 one for me, really, Texas and Penn State. But about 5 days before he committed, I just was hearing Penn State, confidence around Penn State. And then it went back and forth over those last 5 days. Ultimately, I just kind of stuck with my guns with Penn State and ended up being right. Most of the other ones I'm going down the list, most of the other ones I really pretty much knew where they were going to go, including a guy like Javon Shepherd, Stacey Wilkins, Darian Brown, Lewis Sine, Tyler Owens, Marcus Washington going to Texas, Myron Warren, and there's my one damn wrong one, Brew McCoy. I'm still not claiming that as being wrong, but overall, anyways, I just want to give you guys a rundown of kind of what I was thinking on some of these 2020 players that I think are strong possibilities to wind up in the Texas class. Wanted to get to some questions. Hadn't done that in a while, so I'm just going to blow through these pretty quickly, and then we'll wrap this sucker up. Next week, I'll have a lot, should have a lot to talk about after going to the opening camp down in Houston. So a couple questions that were submitted by users. Is Georgia the team to beat right now with Justin Flo, the five-star linebacker out of California? You know, 3 weeks ago, I thought Texas was the team to beat. Justin Flo did visit Georgia. I have not talked to him. But in talking to people who did speak to him, there's some thought that Georgia was maybe even close to getting a commitment. So keep an eye on Georgia. Keep an eye on Alabama. A lot of people think Alabama is going to be a major player there. He showed up at that Adidas 7-on-7 event last week, decked out in all Florida gear. Florida backpack, Florida, I think it was a Florida shirt maybe, Florida hat. So a lot of SEC flavor there. But, you know, I think Texas right now, I guess I would probably say Georgia and Texas would be my two picks. He is expected to visit Texas some point this spring. So that could really, you know, increase Texas's chances. Obviously, Texas has had good success in recruiting California, a guy like DeGabriel Floyd, a guy like Brew McCoy. So that'll only help. 3 weeks ago, I thought Texas was a team to beat. Now I'd maybe put Georgia on even footing. We'll see. These next few weeks could be key if he does come into Austin for an unofficial visit. Assuming we get Zachary Evans, we being Texas, of course, if you had to bet right now, who's the second running back in this class? You know, I'm going to go, the guy that I think is the most obvious choice is Ty Jordan out of Mesquite Poteet. He's just a different style of runner, just a home run threat. He can, you know, be a receiver out of the backfield. He can make plays in the passing game. I like him as a complement to Zachary Evans because I think you can sell those two on, hey, you're going to play together. You're going to have different roles. We can even use you both in the backfield at the same time. I don't think one is going to scare the other one off. So if I had to pick right now, I'll go with Ty Jordan. Next question. Which one, couple, or few recruits do you see realistically making this class snowball? For instance, would landing Keely Ringo, Vernon Broughton, and Chad Lindbergh early start a snowball effect? Well, honestly, you just named three pretty good ones, whoever submitted that one. Zachary Evans would obviously be another one, but you know, Zachary Evans is not going to commit early. I don't think Keely Ringo is, unless he changes his plans. Vernon Broughton could. Chad Lindbergh would be the one guy that might commit somewhat early that I think could have a bit of a snowball effect. So, you know, you mentioned three pretty good ones there in Ringo, Vernon Broughton, and Chad Lindbergh. But, yeah, those would certainly be a few to follow. Kind of random, but what is the latest time that a recruit has ever texted you at night? I don't know, but I know it's happened, you know, 2:30 in the morning several times or very early in the morning. And I'm talking on school nights. It's crazy sometimes the text messages I get from these kids. I'm like, A, do your parents know you're texting that late? Probably not. B, when the hell do some of these guys sleep, man? But, you know, I do, and I've said this before, my wife hates it because my phone is making noises all through the night. I take my phone with me every single night, make sure it's charged up. I set it on the floor beside me in case I get a phone call or text messages while I'm sleeping. Doesn't happen as often as you think. Usually my text messages die out about maybe 11 o'clock at night, start up maybe 6:30 in the morning or so. I'll start getting some. So, you know, it's not like the text messages are keeping me up throughout the night every night, but it does happen on occasion where I'll get a text response from somebody at, you know, 12:30, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Does happen. And, you know, it's certainly one of the drawbacks of this job is that I am glued to my phone. If I ever, God forbid, run to HEB without my phone for 20 minutes, which that doesn't happen often because, I mean, my phone is a priority for me, but the handful of times I've forgotten my phone's gone to run an errand, it's almost like I'm in panic mode because, oh God, what if something happens while I'm out? So anyway, it's kind of a random answer to your question there. Looking ahead, do you believe Texas winds up with another top five class? I do. I think it's trending that way, but there is still a lot of work to be done. And for Texas to wind up with a top five class, they're going to have to land, you know, close on some of these big hitters, a guy like Zachary Evans and Keely Ringo, Justin Flo, I've mentioned, Jaquindon Jackson, Bryson Washington, you know, top 100 type players, Johnny Wilson, the receiver out of Cali who likes Texas. So I do expect Texas to get a top five. I don't know how it's all going to come together, but in order for that to happen, the staff's going to have to close on, you know, a few rivals 100 player type players and probably one or two five-star type players. But yes, I am expecting that to happen. Next question. What's the most rewarding part of what you do for work, and what's the best perk of your job? That's a really good question. For selfish reasons, it's always rewarding, like if you break a story. You know, when Parker Braun committed to Texas, you know, I was able to break that. That was rewarding. Not really rewarding. It was satisfying. And that's so rare that those types of things happen anymore. It's not the same as when that used to happen. And you'd have maybe a story that was an exclusive for a couple hours. You know, nowadays, if you get it within 5 minutes, other people are going to either confirm it, or hate to say it, they're going to lie and say they confirmed it. They're going to put it out on their site and tweet it. That does happen. If someone says it doesn't, they're full of shit. People lie and say they confirm it, and they just piggyback off of your reports, and it just, that part gets annoying. But I guess if you're asking me the most rewarding part, and I genuinely like when good things happen to good people. I develop relationships, if you will. I get to know some of these recruits. You just learn to like some of them. You grow to like some of them. A guy like Willie Tyler, the offensive lineman who committed to Texas, that was a young man who really wanted that Texas offer, man. He told me about it. I could just hear it in his voice, and he's praying for it. The most rewarding thing for me, when he got that offer, he committed, and, yeah, he gave me the story in advance, and I had a story written. That part was all fun. But, yeah, that was really a good day for me, man, when Willie Tyler got that offer and committed to Texas. Committed silently to Texas. It was a good day for me because I really respect Willie Tyler, and I was really happy for him. So if you're asking what's rewarding, stories like that are rewarding. I get pleasure out of seeing a young man who's worked hard and handled himself with class. I enjoy seeing good things happen to guys like that. Next question, straight and to the point. Do I think Keely Ringo is a Longhorn this time next year? The simple answer is yes. I think there's a lot of work to be done. There's going to be a lot of other schools involved. Keep an eye on Oklahoma. But yeah, I'm putting my money on Texas right now. Another question about my job. This will be the last one. I like these questions. I hope you guys do. Have I ever had a recruit or a recruit's parent flip out on me or get very hostile? Maybe a certain running back recruit from Colorado talking about Darryl Scott. The answer to that is I've never had a recruit's parent flip out on me or get hostile. Even Darryl Scott's mom, she never even talked to me directly. She just relayed her message through the people at ESPN. No, I generally have always had a really good relationship with parents. I don't know if I should bring this one up or not, but I do remember one time I got an email from Brad McCoy, and I think it was when Colt was maybe a freshman and he had won the job, and it was kind of a random email, something about how I always favored Jevon Snead, when they were, I guess when they were both on campus and so on and so forth. And certainly wasn't hostile. I mean, Brad McCoy is a very nice guy, but he kind of took me to task for what he felt I was favoring Jevon Snead. And I basically replied back like, dude, I don't know what you have been reading. Maybe you're getting my stuff mixed up with, something Ketch wrote, or I don't remember who was around at the time, Jerry Hamilton. I don't remember who it would have been, but, I try not to play favorites when I write. B, I don't mind admitting it. In my mind, I always favored and rooted for Colt McCoy because of the reasons I mentioned earlier. Because Colt McCoy, I had as much respect for him as a prospect and the way he handled himself and carried himself as just about any kid I've covered. So in my mind, I tried to report it fairly, but I don't mind admitting it. I was rooting for Colt McCoy to win that job, and he ended up winning the job, of course. And yeah, I remember just getting an email from Brad McCoy kind of calling me out, and I responded. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you got me mixed up with someone else, man. And, all was good after that. And, I still have a ton of respect for Colt, always will, and that entire family. To answer the question, I don't think I've ever had a parent get hostile with me and really take me to task too much. If it's happened, then maybe I've blacked it out, but I just don't remember it. So with that, I think those are good questions to wind it up on and give you guys a little bit of insight to my job here and there. And I'll try to think of some more creative, sexy kind of get my hands dirty type stories for future podcasts. But again, you know, I'll be at the Houston opening camp on Sunday, so we'll have a lot to talk about there. I'll get to talk to some key Texas targets down there. Should have a lot of information coming home from that event. So we'll focus on that for next week. I'm going to try to get this damn 2020 recruiting board done at some point. And if and when I do, not if, when I do, we'll talk about that. That's probably a whole podcast in itself. But as always, you know, my name is Jason Sukumel. We're going to call this one a wrap. And this is Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. Big shout out to our friends at the Yak for hosting these podcasts. And a big shout out to you listeners for giving me a little bit of your time each week. You all have a safe week. Have a good week. And I will look forward to you talking to you next week sometime. Take care.